In today's podcast, I'm going to talk about my three tips of things I think you can do to vastly improve your mental health and your emotional intelligence, and generally just feel happier and more connected to the world and the people around you.
Mind Matters, helping men safely navigate family life without losing their minds. Two podcasts every week on a Monday and a Thursday.
I listened to a TED talk by a lady called Polly Young Eisendrath, who is a psychotherapist, mindfulness coach, Buddhist. I listened to it three times, actually. It really resonated with me. And for someone like myself who struggled with depression and OCD and my mental health on and off to varying degrees since my teens, it really has helped me. And really, there are a few things that I think really might help you if you can take them on board. She talked about how in all her years of being a therapist, the one thing that she found really linked a lot of the people that she talked to, whether that was normal everyday people or people who had been practicing Buddhists and meditators for years, was that the one thing that made people more unhappy with themselves was that they generally didn't like themselves. And that would be from a feeling of inadequacy, that they weren't doing enough, or they hadn't done enough, or they weren't measuring up to their peers, or in some cases, a feeling of self-importance. She talked about how we all have this sort of sense of importance and how we, through our own consciousness, can dictate how things are going and how our life is. She goes on in her talk to say how it's a problem that's becoming worse, and we're becoming more and more insular under the idea that actually we are the fixers and the designers of our own happiness. But actually, the more we do that and the more we think that it's down to me, it's my internal process that will make my life happy, actually has the adverse effect, and actually you end up feeling worse and feeling less connected and comparing yourself more to other people and thinking you don't measure up enough compared to other people. Through meditation and through the tips I'm going to talk about in a minute, how if you can consider yourself as one thing, as one human race, you're more likely to live a more happy and fulfilling life. She described happiness as a way we might describe as being in the flow of a state. When you're in that flow, you are not comparing yourself to anyone else. You are not focusing on yourself too much. You're so involved in the activity. So for example, yesterday, we're trying to think of ways to save money. Everyone in the world, I imagine at the moment, is struggling financially. And the one thing we've noticed is that probably through, not laziness, because both my wife and I work full time, my lives are pretty full on. I hadn't been to a supermarket for about 4 years, had our weekly shop brought to us, and that plus 5 or 10 trips to the club a week, food bill was 30 or 40% more than it needs to be, which when money's not an issue, you're not aware of, but money is an issue at the moment. And if we can save £200 or £300 a month, that might make a big difference, because that's actually all you need to do to take the edge off. You don't need to become a millionaire overnight to have no worries about money. You just have to have a little bit more money at the end of the month. Sorry, I utterly digress. So basically, I went and did a massive food shop, and I came home and threw myself into emptying all the cupboards and cleaning out the cupboards and emptying the freezer and de-icing the freezer. And I was so involved in the most mundane of tasks. There's nothing, I think, less glamorous than de-icing your freezer. But I felt really happy. I felt really fulfilled. I was doing something for my family. I was doing something that wasn't about me. I wasn't comparing myself to other people de-icing freezers. I was involved in an activity. And I suppose you could best describe my state as a happy state. I agree with what she says, that actually happiness is best defined as being in the flow, so involved in activity that you're not aware of yourself. As massively unglamorous as it was, cleaning out the cupboards and getting everything in order and lining up cans of beans, I was happy. I had no desire to be anywhere else or doing anything else because I was engaged fully in this activity. And that made me feel happy. And I suppose because I was so engrossed in this activity, there was flow. The minute I suddenly start being self-aware or comparing myself or evaluating myself, the flow will stop and I'm not in that state and I'm looking for myself to make myself happy, where actually, I think I've heard it Jim Carrey say it in a speech, the world happens for you. It's not down to you to make yourself happy. You just need to get out of your own way. You just need to let things happen. We're also desperate to be achieving and to be doing better than our peers or better than we think we should be doing, that we're constantly evaluating and comparing and not actually living, not actually enjoying the massively glamorous job of dettoling and wiping down your cupboards. But just being involved in that activity, life was happening to me. I was just letting things happen. I was just going with it. And because I was in that state of flow, I just felt happy, or happier than I would do if I was sat scrolling through an Instagram feed thinking, someone else has got a much bigger fridge and they're doing a much better job of de-icing it than I just did. She spent a lot of time studying the concept of the self and how we all, what is a self? If I asked 100 people what their concept of a self was, you'd get 100 different answers. The Buddhists, from my understanding, have the idea there is no self. There isn't, you're not one individual person living experience. You're part of one human species living an experience. And when you live in that state, you're much happier. When you separate yourself and make yourself, I am James in my bedroom doing a podcast, you're not as happy as you think, actually, I am that person, but I'm also the animals out, the birds flying. I'm also the postman walking around. I'm probably not describing it well. But the idea that we are part of one, we are part of one big thing. So, you know, a body has millions, billions of cells. We are like one cell in a massive body of a human experience. And when you think of it like that and try and recapture the excitement of life, the adventure of life, the mystery, that you don't have to know it all, that you don't have to know what you're doing next year, and just let it happen to you, let the experience of life happen to you, it takes a lot of the pressure off. You don't suddenly have to be, if I'm not this person in 5 years' time, or I'm not earning this in 5 years' time, then I've failed. No, just let life happen to you. I really like the saying, get out your own way. You are probably the problem. We are the biggest problems in our own lives. How we perceive how we're doing, or how we perceive what we should be doing compared to society. And that's where constant comparing through social media isn't helping us, because you're naturally going to compare yourself to your contemporaries and thinking, well, so-and-so's just gone on holiday there, or so-and-so's just bought that house, or, well, I'm his age and I have his resources, level of education, I should be doing that. Well, why? It doesn't work like that. She went on to say how a lot of the problems a lot of people have these days, and certainly a lot of people that she works with in her therapy, is when people, they're looking inwards. And when actually, if you can train yourself to look at the mystery of the world around you, it takes a lot of the pressure off. And what do I mean by that? Being present, I suppose. Just being aware of the things that happen to you at the moment. Look, pay attention to something in front of you. Look out the window and watch the way the leaves are being blown, or watch a bird, and really focus on it. And suddenly you think, actually, we are one. I am part of this massive, exciting thing. And it's not down to me to fix it or to know what to do next. I'm just part of this. That's not to say that you have absolutely no responsibility. There's probably never been a better time, certainly in my lifetime, when actually there's been more of a need for us to come together and go, we are in this together. There are difficult times. There are wars raging around the world. There are people destitute and struggling. The success lies in us helping each other. You're going to feel amazing if you help your neighbor out who might not be able to afford something, or you see someone who's having a crappy time and you go that extra effort to really ask if they're all right, even if it feels a bit awkward and you're not sure. The benefits are going to feel good. And then you're suddenly going to realize, I am totally part of one thing. It's not just me, a separate entity. I'm part of a much bigger and more exciting thing. When we are inward and we are comparing ourselves to other people and we're evaluating, we're basically worrying ourselves to death. The minute we stop looking outward and looking at the world as a mysterious and exciting place, and we suddenly focus on what we are doing and consider a sort of a separate entity, you just start worrying, stop being in the flow, and therefore, I suppose, you stop being what we would describe as happiness. And she asked, why do we do this? Yes, human beings are animals in the same way that a fox or a cow is an animal, but we're very different in some ways, and we have a self-consciousness. There are certain emotions and things that we do that don't help. And it all starts with the birth of the ego, when at about 18 months old, we suddenly are aware that we are a thing, that we are separate from our mother. Talk about the terrible twos, when suddenly your toddler decides that, actually, no, I really need a fourth bag of Quavers. and I'm going to get it because it's something I need. It's something I want. And it's that balance of the ego. The more I listened to her TED talk, the more it made me think, actually, yeah, the more I become separate or see myself as separate from a bigger thing, a bigger idea, a bigger concept, the more unhappy I am. From a toddler, this develops up to the age of about 25, she says, and it's called executive functioning, which is basically our desire and ability to govern our own feelings and make decisions in our lives that control our lives and determine how our lives are. And when our egos are aroused, they make us feel separate and they make us feel more separate from other things and make us compare ourselves to other things and tap into these sort of self-awareness emotions. The four emotions, self-awareness emotions she mentioned were shame, guilt, envy, jealousy. It's not a complete list. There are others. She just said these were the four biggies. Others like embarrassment, self-pity are also on the list. But these are the four she mentioned that have the most detrimental effect. So when she talked about shame, the idea that there's something about you that is defective, it's different from other people, it's just who you are. And it's something that you really despise about yourself, and it makes you want to hide away, makes you want to become more inward and become less connected with the world. There's something about you that you can't change and that people would dislike about you if they knew about it. Something you want to hide from the world. And shame is not to be confused with guilt. Guilt is you've made a mistake, you want to go and to right the wrongdoing, you've done something or you've said something bad and you actually intentionally want to go and change it and improve it and right the situation. Shame is that you want to cover it up. You don't want anyone to know about the situation. And that's where those two emotions differ. And the problem with shame is it makes you want to retreat. It makes you want to stay at home, not interact with people. My intrusive thoughts are much worse when I'm on my own. If I don't have a perspective, if I don't have another adult to discuss things with, you can torture yourself with negative thoughts and worries when you're on your own, if there's something you're ashamed about. And the other two self-awareness emotions she talked about, envy and jealousy. Envy is the idea that you want to attack or destroy something that somebody has that you don't feel you could have for yourself. It's seeing something on social media, and instead of being happy for something that someone has, you want to attack it or berate it or slag it off. And jealousy is that you want to emulate something that somebody has, that you want to achieve something that somebody has, that you've seen something that you want for your life. And both of these emotions are different, but they both have a negative effect and they both belittle you. They both make you feel worse. And I think that's where social media and the need to manage social media and police it yourself is important, because social media has given us lots of things, lots of great things, but it also has given us an opportunity to make the world just a non-stop popularity contest, which is just exhausting. Because it doesn't matter how good you're doing, there's always going to be someone out there in your group of friends. Group of friends? How many of those people do you know? I have maybe two or three friends. And there's always going to be someone that's got something you want or got something that you have or something that you're jealous that you wish you had. And this constant comparing to other people and looking inward instead of looking outward is not making us happy. And she goes on to say how these emotions can make us feel like we are solely responsible for making ourselves happy and achieving everything we have. And it's down to us as a separate entity to create this. And we're entirely responsible for everything that happens to us in our lives. And when things don't go right or things don't pan out the way you want, you attack yourself or berate yourself because you think in a slightly arrogant way, it's down to me. I should have foreseen that coming, or I should have been able to do that, or it's because there's something wrong with me that it hasn't gone right, or there's something wrong with me that I feel this way. And I completely agree with her when she says that, of course, we are responsible for our actions, we are responsible for what we say and what we do, but we're not responsible for everything. We're not responsible for everything that happens to us in the universe. And sometimes it's unhealthy to think we have that level of control when we don't. I think sometimes you have to just let life happen to you and just put a bit more faith in the mystery of the universe that you are a part of. So how can you feel genuine moments of happiness on a moment-to-moment basis in your life? Try and engage with your surroundings in a really simplistic way. Feel the air on your cheek. Look outside and focus on the way the trees move or what's happening outside. Really engage with your senses and try and fire up the idea that there's a part of a mysterious and exciting and interesting world. And try and do that every time you're feeling bored, or you're bored with yourself, or you're feeling that life's boring or life's not what you want. Suddenly look outside and just try and engage in the mystery, the fascination of it. Going for a walk and just looking at how the clouds move, or looking up and maybe engaging with other people. And you don't have to spend years training with meditation in order to do this, in order to become engaged in your immediate world. The idea, come back to the idea that you are tiny and that the world or the universe is massive. And just suddenly, hopefully that will put the worries and the boredom into perspective and think, actually, I'm part of something much more exciting than my worries or my concerns. And I think if you can just be a bit more aware of, I don't know, the light in a room or the way somebody smiles, you suddenly will realize that actually that's not happening just to me. That's happening to everyone. That's happening. It's an experience that's happening to everyone. Sometimes I watch my children sleep and just I'm fascinated by how we've managed to create these beings. And that in itself just makes me feel happy that I'm here and I'm a parent and I'm their parent. And I've got this fantastic project that if all I do for my entire life is strive to be the best dad I can be, then I'll be really happy with that. If all I do is work to support them and to make them happy and to give them the love and support, that's enough. That is more than enough. And it doesn't have to be your children. It can be your partner. It can be your friends. The minute I find that you suddenly do that and try and think, what can I do for other people? The world expands and gets more interesting, and I think can help you get into that flow, that happy place. And the second thing I would do to help yourself be happier and be more in a flow state is maybe experiment with going half a day or a day, or if you can build it to a couple of days, of not looking at yourself in the mirror or not scrolling at pictures of yourself on Facebook. We never used to have photos of ourselves. We never used to have the medium of Facebook. And I think the problem is this constant looking at ourselves makes you go inward and makes you, all it does is make you compare and detaches you from a bigger, more interesting world. It makes your world smaller when you suddenly start obsessing with your eyebrows, your hair color, how tall, short, fat, thin you are. I don't think it helps. I honestly don't think it helps. I think it makes your world smaller. And the third tip that Polly mentioned, and I think it's a great one, is suddenly become really interested in your surroundings. And by that, how you can change other people around you. How if someone in your immediate area, your family, your friends is sad, what can you do individually to help them? How can you benefit someone else's life? And the minute I think you do that, you suddenly expand your world. And you don't make it about you. You don't make it about what do I need to get today to feel better. It's what can I do for my kids who look a bit sad or looking a bit low today? What can I do? What effort can I? Will me smiling at someone help? Will me opening a door for someone help? I've done it a few times. I did it for yesterday in the supermarket. Probably freaked a few people out. But just getting out of the way, or just a shared experience of the fact that I had the duff trolley that seemed to want to go constantly left and bang into all the aisles. The shared experience of someone else, of when you look around and that it's really busy and we all share the same frustrations, and then instantly my life's slightly better and their life's slightly better, and you maybe shared that experience and you suddenly realize actually we are all in this together, whether we like it or not. And another saying I heard, I think it was from a plumber, which is quite amusing when you think about the quote. There are two types of people. There are either radiators or drains. What type of person are you? When you go into a room, or you go into the office, or you go into home, do you drain the vibe? Do you make things worse? Or do you radiate? Do you help people? Are you that person that goes into a room where everyone's a bit grumpy and helps people get along? So just to clarify, three tips to have a happier, more exciting, more connected life. Number one, when you're feeling bored or you're feeling down on yourself, look up, look around you, look at the way the light fills the room. Be aware of the wind on your face. Go out for a walk and watch something. Be aware of something. Observe your surroundings. And number two, take a bit of time not looking in the mirror, not comparing yourself, not looking at yourself, other people. And number three, be a radiator. Don't be a drain. What can you do for other people? What can you do to make this world, your corner of the world, better? Is you smiling? Is you making a joke? Is you holding a door? Look up and think, where can I be of use? I hope you got something from that. If you've got a question for me about mental health or parenting, please let me know. I'm trying to build a community with this podcast and make it much more interesting and create the sort of content that people actually want. I'm generally trying to help people who might be struggling and make your lives and your family lives more fulfilling. I hope wherever you are in the world, you're okay. Take care.